where we hold them! This is where we fight!
Now listening to Sweep the Rack Podcast featuring Brooklyn Rob and Big Mike.
Rob, what's good, homie?
Yo. I was thinking tonight while I was watching the show, how just kind of sad I was that this show specifically was taped, how we couldn't put any bets on it. It was a great show to bet. It was a great show for it to be live. I didn't know what the results were. So I'm sure like 99% of the people that were watching who weren't there or didn't have any, inside info, I guess. But man, I mean, it's a good show. A lot of good matches, a lot of close matches. Best in the world, bowling for a lot of money, and they have it on taped, and I'm just like kind of still a little bit shitty about it, I guess. Like, I don't know what your thoughts are there, but I'm just kind of like, man, I wish this was live.
Would it have been a good show to bet though?
I think so.
I was actually thinking that, like, would we have made money or lost money betting that show? I think I would have lost money.
I mean, we would have had Bill because we talked about it last week.
Right.
I mean, we would have had
I probably would have had Simo.
Svensson. We talked Svensson to the moon.
Right. I definitely would have had Tackett. I mean, no question.
But the odds on Tackett wouldn't have been really that good. So I kind of feel
But also after watching Boog last week, like I just don't think I would have had the confidence to bet against Tackett there in that spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think I might have probably ended up breaking out even if I was just betting the matches straight up, because I think I would have went 2-2.
Match I definitely would have won would have been Svensson against Kent. I would have hammered. So you know what? Maybe we would have been plus because I would have hammered that one. I mean, after watching Svensson last week and knowing what Kent has done on TV this year, which again rears its ugly head, the gutter playing 25 again. I mean, come on. So yeah, I don't know. I hear you. I always wish the shows were live, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna lie to the people. The curiosity just got to be too much for me. It really did. Late last week, I had to know. I was waking up every day, driving to work, wondering, man, I wonder if we're bowling in the semifinals or not. I wonder if we're going to Florida or not.
Friday morning,
I think Friday morning it was, I'm pretty sure. I was walking into school. I got right before I got out of my car to walk into work, because I lose reception in work. Like, I can't really use my phone in work. And right before I got out of my car for work, I text Bill and said, I'm sorry, I have to know. And he texts me back. And he was like, I got really lucky. I got really fortunate, I think was his text. I got really fortunate and I won on a break. Right. So I'm expecting him. I'm like, my text back to him were like, well, I can't repeat my text back to him actually, but it was something like, yo, that's awesome. It's about time we got a break. Haven't been getting a break all year and a half. About time we get one. I'll take it. And then he texts me back and is like, yeah, I pulled it a little left to trip the four. And I'm like, son, you're being too humble. You're being too humble calling that a break with the breaks that have occurred against you recently. So I don't know if it was that big of a break.
We'll talk more when we talk about the match a little bit, but I kind of found it a little bit ironic that the Bill and Belmo bowling doubles lost because Belmo left a four and then Belmont ends up losing to Bill Tripping a four. So I kind of feel like it was a little bit of like karma for Bill in a sense, right? Like,
well, plus he got crossed over three times for yeah. a title. And then you go back to last year with the trip six pin, how that ended. So yeah, just, you know, like I said, the breaks really haven't gone our way. I love it. You know, everybody gives me crap for my headphones. I love it when people give you crap for your setup. Jimmy's giving you crap for your setup. For those that are just listening,
Rob's
a little bit dark right now. He just turned on another light, so he's better. But Jimmy says, get Rob a ring light and a desk that he can sit on the other side of.
This is a new spot for me. I'm sitting in the house, but I can't open the blinds right here because look at the sun. Look at
that. Man, blazing sun in Arizona. Jeez.
So I'm going to have this down until the sun kind of goes above my house.
Did Bill cross over at the Players to beat Ryan?
He did. I think he did get a. He did have a crossover. Look,
it wasn't the deciding shot. I know it might have been early in the game, or
I don't want to face the window. I don't want to face my window because you're going to be seeing my kitchen, and I don't want to see my kitchen in the background. And I'm not going up in the office anymore because the dog is hurt and he likes to come like be near me. So I don't want him near the stairs.
Seeing people's kitchens. I feel like your kitchen might be a reflection of where you are in life, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's a lot messy. My life is messy then right now.
Okay.
So.
All right. We'll see. Okay.
But let's talk, a little bit about the first match. Let's go down the matches. You want to start? Wait, I did bowl yesterday though, Mike. Scott, they were taped tonight. It wasn't live.
I think Scott is saying it's not up on Bet Rivers yet. I think Scott, are you talking about the semifinals? That's probably because the show's just ended and, you know, they're not going to put it out in advance of the shows when the PBA is trying to pretend like those shows were live when they weren't.
Look, Bill gets breaks on TV. He doesn't like get breaks on TV. Like, it goes in ebbs and flows, right? Look at Simo. Simo hasn't caught a break on TV in a few shows, big shows too, at big moments. I mean, he stoned the 10 tonight, throwing a backup. He stoned the 10 at the TOC. It'll come back to him. He's just got to keep doing what he's doing. Mike has Bet Rivers scared. Yeah, right. They
Sunday shook. Sunday shook. They love Ain't Mike. No such things as halfway crooks. Get out of here.
Mike, I went and bowled yesterday again. And I got to tell you a little story that I think a lot of competitive bowlers can relate to. So I went to the bowl and I'm like, I'm going to bowl an extra game. I bowled two games last week. I bowled three games yesterday. And while I was I bowled a few games. I was bowling good. I mean, the house shot was out. It was just practicing. So I'm bowling. I'm just whatever, throwing strikes. And these two ladies come over to me, older ladies. I think a lot of competitive bowlers can relate, but you kind of miss it when you haven't been bowling, you know. And they're like, excuse me, sir. And they get, I was like, are you a professional? And I was just like, no, I'm far from a professional. I've been injured. I'm just coming back. I'm more of an amateur type player. You know, back in the day, I wasn't bad. And so they started asking me all kinds of questions. And what are those grips in the bowling ball? And like, what is this and what is that? And I kind of feel like as a bowler who, you know, you want to do good by the sport, it's your like duty to like be as knowledgeable and friendly to people like that, to get maybe their interest vested in the sport more, because obviously they were interested about the game and like what I'm doing. And you know, you kind of feel a little bit like a rock star. It's good for your confidence and your ego, even if it's just like, you know, two older women coming over to you to ask you about like what you're doing and you know what your balls look like and why how do you hook the ball and stuff. And I just thought that was funny. I think a lot of people can relate to that when they've been practicing and it's kind of a fuller center mic and there's just people that are just open bowling around you, and here you come on the lane and you're just like bowling, trying to practice, and everyone's kind of like, well, being like, oh my God, like, what is this person doing with all these bowling balls? And so, Victor says the old lady's asking how his balls look like. Hey, you know, so you got to take it as you can get it as a single guy, Victor. What can I say?
But everybody in the chat is stealing my thunder. Jimmy says, Rob, picking up women in practice, picking up old women, picking up Mama Mia's. You picking up the Mama Mia's hanging in the back, Rob? They're recruiting you for their Thursday night league. That's what it is. Hey, they're buttering you up.
Let me tell you something. There's a lot of attractive older women in Scottsdale. Okay, all you gotta do is go to a Whole Foods around like noon.
And next week they're gonna come to you and say, "Hey, Mr. Pro, Mr. Pro, are you free on Thursday nights for a league? Because they wanna win their yearly Mama Mia league. That's amazing." Yeah.
Can you sign my chest?
Oh my God. No, you know, truthfully, I always felt like people were messing with me when they would do that. I have to be honest, it doesn't surprise me one bit that you take these interactions like you're on the side of a celebrity and you turn into, let me
show you something, ladies.
Yeah,
let me show
you my best. I don't know. I guess it's just the Philly in me that, like, anytime that happened to me, I always felt like the people were being sarcastic and they didn't really care about any of this. They were really just
making fun of you,
poking fun at the idiosyncrasies of bowlers. And I never liked bowling in an open bowling environment. Never. Like, because you just come off like a wacko. Let's be honest. Like, if you're a real serious bowler, for a real serious bowler to walk into any non-serious bowler environment that takes place in a bowling center, you're going to come off as a whack job. It just doesn't matter. You almost can't win in that situation. I mean, think about it from their perspective. Like, this person's coming in. They're carrying 6-9 bowling balls with them. They're all different colors. They're all different, you know, colored grips in them. The thumb comes out of them. You're putting the other thumb in. You got all special shoes. I mean, it's just, it's goofy. I'm sorry. It's goofy. So, like, I never liked being in that position. I would much rather play it cool and just walk in like I'm another open bowler and just take the house ball and be like, oh, all right, I'm going to do some open bowling. And then people are going to be impressed anyway. They're going to be like, oh, your form is great. Oh, how do you know how to do that? You know,
like, I just want to be nice. Like, people will come over to me and ask me like questions about bowling. I don't, you know, look, they could be making fun of me. Like, I had a bunch of like fraternity guys bowling next to me. There was like 7 of them bowling for like money, you know, beer, and, you know, 17, 18 year olds. They probably were making fun of me, whatever. But I just kind of feel like I have a duty to bowling in a sense to try to just be nice and try to explain it at a basic level. Like, I'm not going to sit there and be like Randy Peterson, how he talks on the shows, talking about blowing past the pattern and carry down and you know, I don't. I've worked in a pro shop.
You're just gonna point to your patches on your bag. No, look, miss, I bowled an 800 series and I bowled a 300 game and I bowled. No. I made the 710 split. You made the 710 split. You know, the one with the two pins across from each other. Yes, I have patches right here. I mean, I don't. Yeah, that ain't me.
I just, you know, worked in a pro shop for a year and I tried to really basic and dumb down a lot of the science and a lot of the higher technology talk of bowling. I think that's where a lot of people get lost when you walk into a pro shop, is you have these people that are just talking above your head when you don't even like know what the hell they're talking about, and all they want to do is maybe drill a basic a ball in sense. So I've always been good at just kind of dumbing it down and just talking basic to a lot of the people. So that's what I try to do. Like, here's how it hooks, You know, like it's very easy. It's like a tire on a road, and once it hits the dry, it grabs the road, and once it hits the oil, it spins. And I used to always talk in the sense of like using it in comparisons to what they would understand.
Yeah, I don't know. I would just view you as a 40-year-old guy with a backpack, like Victor here in the chat.
I didn't have a
backpack. Guy brings his own school bag to bowling with him. What is this?
I didn't have a backpack.
Mans has his own backpack to come to the bowling alley, plus nine bowling balls.
Anyway. All right. Well, I just thought I would give that. By both three games, pain-free, which is the important part. Bowled well. Might sign up to bowl tournament at the end of June. There's a 15K tournament here. I believe it's 15K. It's the Cactus Open, and I might be able to get ready for that. But it's going to – the important part for me is going to be able to bowl for an hour or two and see how the arm holds up. But, yeah, on track. Maybe I'll start bowling a little bit more. Alex Sorge in the chat. What's up, my guy?
He says, when you have these conversations with people at the bowling alley, you always hear, oh, wow, my uncle's brother's cousin's nephew is a professional. And then they proceed to name someone that you've never heard of.
From 1987.
Or there was a donator from 1987. Most of the time, it's somebody, like, I have a lot of those interactions where, you know, generally I'll be telling somebody that I'm into bowling. I'm deeply into bowling. Yeah, I know a lot about it, the history about it. Yeah. And then they'll say, oh, yeah, my uncle was a professional bowler. He was like real good. He had like titles and everything, you know? I'll be like, oh, what was his name? Be like, oh, Joe Smith. I'm like, nah, never heard of him. Don't know him. So, yeah.
So correct me, Agenong Open, correct me. I believe that's probably Carl. 10K for the Cactus Classic, asking if he's going to see us both in October. Look, listen to me, Carl. Let me say something real quick here. Mike don't leave Jersey, okay?
I go to Pennsylvania.
He goes to Pennsylvania.
I go to New York.
Mike don't leave his comfort area. You ain't getting Mike to
it's the really – the better statement is big Mike. Tough to get big Mike on a plane.
Tough to get big Mike on a plane.
I mean, I need that first class seat, number one, because your boy ain't sitting in those economy seats. I ain't putting myself in a sardine can. Okay.
Yeah, but didn't one of the airlines now, don't they have like seating for like bigger passengers? I read that.
No, somewhere. I think it's fat discrimination actually, and they make you buy two seats. I think that's what they do. Not to say that I'm that extreme. I don't think I'm the person that needs two seats. But yeah, definitely not the greatest, especially that kind of flight. It's like an almost cross country flight. Like,
so here's the thing. Geez. Mike has a free place to stay. He doesn't have to rent a car, okay? Because I'd pick him up and I would chauffeur him around for the weekend to bowl. And all he'd have to do is pay for the flight. Pay for his entries and maybe take me out for dinner one night because we need to go out.
And take he's you good. Out for dinner. You take me out for dinner.
No. Hey, look. I mean, look, I'm not asking for a big meal. I'm just saying you're going to stay here and I'm going to drive you around. I expect at least a good meal, especially if you bowl good. But you know what, though? Big Mike ain't leaving the East Coast.
Don't say that. Don't say that. You know,
I've been trying to get him to go out to the Tat for years. Because of the entries and the money that's there and you don't have to bowl against the pros of the Tat. You know, it's a very, very good tournament for a high level amateur bowler. It really is. So we will see. I'll keep working on it. Maybe one day I'll be able to get him out, you know. So I don't know. But anyway.
See, inviting me to the Wednesday. Listen, I gotta be honest. Last year at the Wednesday night dinner, there were some people I have beef with, son.
Oh, yeah, that would have been.
If I was at the Wednesday night dinner last year, there wouldn't have been a Wednesday night dinner. We wouldn't have gotten that far, son.
Yeah, that would have been.
I'm just telling you.
That would have been a melee. I would have let.
It would have been a Wednesday night roasting.
It would have been.
Everybody would have watched a roasting.
The pool would have turned into Royal Rumble back there. It would have. But anyway.
No, but listen, if in any way I can make it, I would definitely come out. Let me look at the dates. Let me see what's going on. See, the other tough thing is October is like start of the school year. So it's like, am I burning personal days that early in the year? What's my situation? But yeah, let me look. Let me see. know, if I can get away maybe with like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and get home by Sunday night, which again is tough because you got the time difference coming back. But yeah, we'll definitely check it out.
All right. Well, we'll hold him to it. I'll keep working on him, Carl. All right. Let's get this going with the show.
No league review for me. I got no league review for the people this week. We didn't bowl last week. We were off. I forget why. I think it was just like a scheduling thing. But again, we're being kicked out by Bolero. Not happy about it, you know. But that's something we'll talk about later in the episode, I would imagine, a little bit before we get out of here. All right, Rob. So, first match.
Boogman. Brooklyn Boog.
Didn't look good from the jump. First frame looked horrible. And just like he did in his previous match, he just claws back, sticks around, gives himself a chance. You know, hanging around. He's like Rounders. He's like Mike from Rounders, you know, Mike McD from Rounders. He just hangs around and he gives people enough, just he keeps the pressure on him, keeps leaning on him. And it's enough to get it done. I mean, surprised that Tackett doesn't close the door there at some point. But the right lane gave him trouble. I don't think it was a poor execution thing on Tackett's part. I definitely think it was just a breakdown of the lane at the wrong time and almost a guess as to what to do to combat the breakdown of the lane at that time. He even said it to his ball rep after the interview with Randy that, you know, he was afraid that he was going to make a move on that right lane and then not get it there and not have it read. And it didn't. And that was kind of the difference in the match. I mean, that put the match in a position where, you know, Boog, because he had such a long string, didn't really have to get up and do much to close it out. So surprisingly, Boog Kroll with the upset over EJ Tackett, and he's going to be in the final four for the PBA playoffs. Shout to him. I mean, breakout season. We've talked about this in the past, and I know when we wrap the season up, this will obviously come up. But like, you know, he stuck his flag in the ground this year solidly.
I had a few notes on this match. I did want to question one of EJ's equipment decisions. Boog using urethane, I think, was a big part in this match, and EJ not using urethane. Boog was able to calm down the back of the lane. You could tell that Boog had some misses in, and he was able to get the ball to push. He was able to really control the lane very well. And EJ was using a Pride Dynasty, which is a pretty aggressive ball. It's and had a lot just more sensitivity to like the responsiveness of the Pride Dynasty compared to Boog's urethane. If EJ missed in a little bit, he 3-6-10 one shot, he 4-pinned one shot. It just was very sensitive. I was curious to why EJ didn't try to throw, you know, that red urethane now that they're throwing. I forgot the name of that tank that they have now that seems to be decent. I would have kind of liked to see that more. I think he used that on the last show, I believe, a little bit, and it seemed to be okay. So I was curious to ask him what that decision was. And Boog's decision to use urethane obviously was a good decision. I mean, once he started to relax a little bit and execute, he had an amazing look. And you could even see Bill's decision to use urethane compared to Belmo's decision not to use urethane. It was almost the same type of like story in a sense. So you have one guy using urethane and one guy not using urethane. And you have the one guy who has the higher rev rate not using urethane, the guy with the lower rev rate using urethane. So it's kind of a weird, it was a weird and unexpected little bit of storyline for me.
Surprising to, because like all year we haven't seen the urethane, this new harder urethane, consistently work for longer stretches, right? And I know this wasn't necessarily longer stretches because this was the first game. But again, like, they get practice before this comes on. And, you know, there's a lot of balls and shots going down the lane because you got eight guys on the show and they're all getting practice and various shots. And I was surprised that the urethane looked so good, especially with the dual patterns and one of them being longer. You know, when Boog threw that first shot, excuse me, in the game and left the bucket without the eight, right, plus the seven.
Yeah, they handled.
Yeah, and he chopped it. I thought, oh man, that does not look good. But to his credit, you know, he was able to figure out a way to get the ball to face up and read the right way, and obviously it was successful. But yeah, just kind of surprising to me. Like, I, you question EJ's ball choice, and I get you, you know, especially with the way things went. But given the way that urethane has been this year, you know, I don't really question his choice. I question more the choice to use the same ball on both lanes, more so than I do the choice just about urethane or reactive. Like, forget about urethane or not. I would like to see what would have happened in that match if Tackett used a different ball on the right lane that was more tame, period. Maybe not urethane tame, but just something to give him a different look than what he had in that ball that he was using on the left lane. But, yeah, listen, like I said, shout to Boog. You know what I mean? He's in the Final Four, and, you know, you can't take that away from him. He's won a title this year. He finished sixth at the U.S. Open. He's made a couple runs at other tournaments. So, like, you know, like I said, he has stuck his flag in the ground this year and kind of solidified himself as a tour guy.
I think, Gio Strapp, what up, George? Brought up a good point in the chat. Do they not mention money on the show anymore? How much did EJ's loss earn him? How much is Boog's now guaranteed? It's a fair point. I mean, they don't show the money or the prize funds. Like, I would, especially how big this prize fund is. I believe it's 75 grand for first place. And there is a decent amount of money here. Like, not just top heavy. They would want to show the money, right? And they would want to advertise that. And I'm surprised they're not. I'm curious to what your thoughts would be, why they're not showing prize money.
I probably because in most instances it's not something they really want to highlight all that much, I would believe.
75 grand for first isn't bad, though. I mean, even if they just – maybe they'll show it next week when they get to the Final Four and just show the Final Four prize money. I don't know, but it's a good point, George. I agree with you.
I do, too. And it's not something I have noticed them doing either. You know, like in terms of the prize funds and whatnot. So it's,
you know, back in the day when the ABC Wild World of Sports, they would love showing that money, right? Because there was a lot of money back then. You'd see 100 grand first, and they were all over the literal telecasts. And now they kind of shy away from a lot of showing of the money.
Yeah, like, I think to this is to me, Sarah. You hit the nail on the head here. Like, compared to other sports, right? And people's knowledge of what other athletes get paid, I think their thinking is, oh, people are going to be like, oh, really? That's it? That's what they're out here to compete for. But I also think Gio makes a good point here. Like, you don't know if they're bowling $200 matches or $2,000 matches. If they phrased it that way, if they phrased it as, oh, well, you know, this match right here is a $10,000 match. You know, they don't really have to talk about what they're making or not, but you're right. Tell us what the difference is. Tell us what they're bowling for. And Charlie Tapp always bringing the glass half full, rosy perspective, reminding us that McElroy in golf today won $3.4 million. So shake it off.
All right. Next match.
To be fair, wait, we got to be fair. What's up, Steve? Belanda saying in the chat that they did show at the end of the show they showed the bracket and it had 75 for first and 50 for second.
Okay, next match, Mike.
One more. This is a great comment about PBA on ABC. Yeah, right, they always showed the top 24 in their prize money, and they'd have the B roll going in the background with all the guys throwing shots. Yeah. That was the best. I used to love that part of the show because you'd be like, oh, who else made it? You know, and you get to see other names, and yeah, very, very cool.
Are you ready to go to our next match now?
Let's go.
Okay, Bill Belmo. This was a cool match to watch, at least for me. It was just such a difference of styles, equipment. Bill's the straighter, lower rev rate player using, you know, the Black Hammer, and Belmo is standing left, you know, throwing right. And Bill misses a 10 pin, which I don't remember the last time I've seen him miss a single pin spare on TV.
Epidemic. For Bill. Jesus.
I want to say it's been years since he's actually missed a single pin on TV. I would love for this to get a like statistician on the show and find out the last time he missed a single pin. I bet you he could tell you, because it's probably like etched in their minds when they miss single pins, especially Bill, who's an amazing spare shooter. Probably the best, one of the best ever, like spare shooters, honestly. Like, he's so good at it. But anyway, so he starts out missing 10 pin, right? And then he gets up and he's comfortable. He's on the left lane. He's starting to trip. He had a bunch of can openers. That's what we call them when they strike. When like the five is the last one to fall. And Belmo, it was just a high level version of the match. Back and forth match, bottom line, right? Bill's throwing urethane, Belmo's throwing performance. And it gets down to really like probably back almost to like the seventh, eighth frame. And I think once Belmo left that 10 pin in the eighth, right? Bill was up like 11 or 12, and they were both on spares. And Bill gets up, Belmo got up, struck. And then I believe Bill went strike in the ninth and then tripped a four in a tenth to beat Belmo. Now I'm confused. Did Belmo finish first and then Bill got up, or did Bill shut Belmo out? I don't remember. I literally just watched it. So
I thought Bill shut him out, but I can be wrong.
Yes, because Bill shut him out because Belmo went up and then threw some shots as like garbage time. Sorry about that, guys. Right. Yeah, I got confused for a sec. Bill gets up, doubles and strikes out essentially in the 10 frame to shut Belmo out. But I think the key to this match was obviously Bill was able to just honestly was lights out on that right lane. And then the left lane, the longer pattern was just a little bit, you know, sensitive for Bill in the sense of carrying, right? I think Randy hit it on the head on the commentary where he was just like, Bill's going to four pin and he's going to move left and it's going to be a key here to see if he trips that 10 out, and he didn't. It was just a back and forth match. But I guess my question to you, Mike, is were you surprised that Bill wasn't throwing resin on the left lane like you were surprised Boog wasn't throwing resin on the left lane?
Very surprised. Mm. Very surprised. They must have seen something.
Well, of course they did. I mean,
yeah, because on that pattern of that length with the way this urethane has been this year, that's not, you know, if you told me it was Purple Hammer last year or year previous years, I would have said, oh, yeah, no brainer almost. But this year, yeah, I definitely think it's less of a no brainer. And I was somewhat surprised by it.
Yeah, I do question the decision. Obviously, it worked out for him. I mean, he bowled 230. And maybe I'll reach out to him and ask him. I'd be more curious to get his input on that, right? So, Roy's going to Florida. Who's he bowling in the bracket? Look at that. Bet Rivers. What's up? Our guys, man. Woo, Bet Rivers. What do you think about Bill? Who's Bill bowling in the first round of the finals next week, Mike? I didn't chance to look at the bracket.
I didn't either.
Does anybody know out there? He's blowing Boog. Oh, the rematch, Mike.
Oh.
The rematch of the Delaware Classic Open. Good Lord, dude. That's pretty funny. So that means that's Svensson's bowling, Kyle Troop. Oh, ooh, best friends. Mm. There's some good storylines there. No, we'll talk a little bit about the preview of next week. But
okay, so the next match was Svensson Kent.
I mean, lights out for Svensson.
Is anybody more upset that the finals for this thing are moving than Svensson?
I mean, he's big mad. I tweeted that out. Did you see that? Oh,
my God. I did, yeah.
Svensson's big mad. He is big mad. Because if that finals were staying at Angels of the Casino, it literally was a Svensson tournament. I don't think Svensson was losing if they stayed in that building. How could you say he would lose? He's not losing in that building right now. He's not nobody's beating him in that building if they stay there. Now it's a whole different ball game. It's a whole different, you know, nobody has no idea what the lanes are going to be doing there, how the patterns are going to play there. Are they using the same patterns they were using in Angels of the Casino? I would believe, right?
Yeah, but again, does it matter? No, not really.
But the building is going to be so different.
I know.
It's going to be completely different. And it'd be interesting for a bowling nerd like myself and for you to see what the difference is when they use the same patterns and they bring it to a new building and how the players are going to approach the pattern, right? And what they're going to be using. If Svensson now is all of a sudden can't carry and he's, you know, back to, you know, 7 pins and 10 pins. I mean, what's going to it just shows you how much of a crucial part of the bowling center's play of where, you know, in how they perform in their results.
Yo, big hoss.
You, my guy, coming in with the, loves the PBA playoffs, dude. Kyle loves the PBA playoffs.
Jimmy giving us a shout in the chat, telling Bet Rivers throw some sponsorship money to sweep the rack. Listen, we don't talk behind the scenes very much on the show, but they had reached out to us a while back about doing something and sponsoring the pod. But the problem was that because they're a gambling company, there's all kinds of legal stuff involved on our end with like disclaimers and paperwork. You have to be like registered with the state to be able to advertise gambling or something. Am I right, Rob? I mean, I don't, you know, I'm just generalizing here what we saw in the information that they sent us.
Yeah, I remember like I think I would have to go through like their corporate or something, and it was just like I don't remember exactly where the holdup was, but there was
there was a lot involved in it. So
yeah, and I'm just like
Manscaped has reached out to us too, like super early in our podcast adventure. But all they offered us was a discount,
a free discount on a
thing to shave your balls. So yeah, we passed on that.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good with that. I'll just use scissors now. we're completely off the rails now. We have no chance of a sponsor with Bet Rivers after that.
Bowling with Diallo saying that Kent did a Chris Vi. No, Diallo. Kent did a Kent. Kent did a Kent. Chris Vi did a Kent. You have it backwards, bro. Okay. Dude, Kent did a Kent.
That's too good. Okay.
Maybe we change the show name to shave the scrotum. It's not sweep the rack, it's shave the scrotum.
Sweep the hair off the floor.
Yeah. No doubt.
Svensson's lights out at there. He's lights out there. He's big mad they're moving it, but big mad he's moving out of that building. But we'll see how Florida is, where the same patterns. So I'd assume it's going to the left side will be pretty decent for Jesper. But
I don't even think it's about that. I think it's about does the urethane work well enough to consistently carry. That's it. It's the only question. If it works well enough to consistently carry, he's probably the favorite. If it doesn't, then he's not. You know, he's and it's a huge swing in what his odds look like depending on that. So that'll definitely be something that we are trying to get information on before the live shows next week, right? I mean, no question I'm going to be poking around asking people that are down there, hey, how's the urethane look for Jesper? Because that's going to be a huge determining factor here.
Yeah. Okay, last match of the night,
Kyle. Simonson, Troop. Best match of the night, I thought.
Best match of the night.
Sick. I mean, somebody said earlier it's like two heavyweights going at each other. I forget who that was, but you're right. You know, when they bowl each other, they both bring their A game. You got Simo backing it up on one lane, hooking it lefty style on one lane, hooking it righty style on the other lane. Using urethane on one lane, reactive on the other lane, playing one lane, sixth arrow, playing the other lane, sixth arrow, but on the other side. I mean, it's just disgusting. It's disgusting. Certainly. Like, and Troop, to his credit, doesn't matter.
Insanely good how Simo is able to do that. Is that the first time he's ever did that on a show? Like, I don't remember him ever doing that on a show before, backing up on one lane and hooking on another lane.
Not that I recall. I mean, maybe for a shot.
Yeah, not for a game.
Not for a game.
No. I was shocked that he wasn't backing up on both lanes after seeing Jesper's look. I thought he was going to back up on both lanes when I first saw him do it on the right lane. I'm like, oh, he must have seen Jesper's look with that 78, you know, IQ, and like, screw it, I'm just going to be where Jesper is and back it up and do exactly what Jesper is doing. And then I was really surprised that he was hooking it on the left lane and then backing it up on the right lane. And then, you know, John Fanta had a very interesting question, which to Randy was like, well, does that screw you up in a way, like bowling, right? Like physically throwing, trying to recreate shots,
right?
Going back up, you know, hooking it back up, hooking it up. And I mean, the answer is yes, for a very good bowler, it would screw them up. But for someone who's on Simo's level, it obviously didn't, because he really executed that game very well. I mean, I think he only had like one or two, like, you know, subpar shots.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that game, either one of them could have won that game.
Yeah, see, Tony, I understand that. I know he did win a national title. I get
backing
that.
Backing it up in Delaware, backed, but that wasn't on TV.
But that wasn't my question. My question was, has he ever backed it up on TV? Like, I don't think he's ever even backed it up on TV for a whole game, let alone doing it on one lane and then hooking it on the other lane. I mean, just insanely crazy high level Simo is. But still couldn't catch the breaks when he needed it. The 7-pin that he left, or I'm sorry, the 10-pin he left with that backup ball was a crazy bad break. The pin went right over the 10, right? And just like, you know, deja vu, determined of champions, gets up, needs a strike to keep the pressure on Kyle, and he's 10 pins. So it's just like, you know, you saw the frustration there, Mike, from Anthony, and I don't blame him. I mean, he's been executing at a high level on TV for a while now, and he hasn't been seeing a lot of the results that he wants.
Yeah, I actually thought after the show was over, you know, like we had talked coming into last year about EJ Tackett. And like how he was kind of going through the same thing where he was knocking on the door a lot, but he just wasn't getting it done. Right. And then now he's going to go back to back player of the years now. Right. Since we had that conversation 2 years ago. What? You don't think so? The look on your face says he might not.
Well, I'm now
talking about this yesterday. I mean,
I know last week. I'm just throwing this out there now, though. Does it get closer if Bill wins next week? A title and 75 grand.
Does it get closer? Yes, but – and I think you could say the same for Troop too, right? Does it get closer? Yes, but does it get close enough that it goes the other way? It doesn't. No. And that's coming from the biggest Bill O'Neill fan out there. I still can't go that far.
I'm trying to grasp for anything I can here, Mike, for Bill's win player of the year. For anything I can to try to talk my way into a Bill player of the year, man.
I hear you.
I know. EJ's going to win.
Back to my point.
Yep.
I feel like Simonson could be on the precipice of something similar, right? Where he's just always there. He's always knocking at the door. Eventually he's going to get his. And when he does, it's not going to be one or two. It's going to be a flood. And you know, I know it's not like a radical prediction. I'm not here to give a hot take on this, but you know, you're going to see Simonson have a run like that somewhere in his career where he's going to win two multiple player of the years in a short year span. So, yeah, you know, I mean, it's bound to come. You know, he's just got to keep going there. You can't, the brakes can't always go against you, you know.
Yeah, I think the PBA is in the future. I'm talking like next 5 years is going to be without a doubt the Tackett Simo troop show. Like really what it comes down to, right? Like those three players, you're going to see one of those three players practically probably on almost every show. Like literally, like especially the long format shows with a lot of games and you know, the qualifying with the match play, the round robin, those type of formats, the best 4-7 formats, then it's kind of up for grabs at that point. With that format, it's always kind of a wild card who makes those shows. But right. Yeah, I mean, talk about a youth, like between Simo and Tackett and Troop, it's like, man, like I'm talking like they're on another planet sometimes, I feel like, than some of these other guys out there. So yeah, we'll see. But that's kind of my not hot take, right? I think that's a pretty obvious take, right? All right, Mike, let's look. You want to look at next week's final, talk about the finals?
Well, I mean, to me, there's not much to talk about.
Right? Okay.
Because we already covered it. Like, I'm taking Bill over Boog. No disrespect to Boog, but I'm taking Bill. Not only because that's our guy, but because of the revenge factor there. And just because, you know, Bill deserves to be the favorite in that match. You know, even based on the results from this year, past results, obviously. You know, so nothing to talk about there for me. Does the urethane work or does the urethane not work? We're going to get word on that before these shows air next weekend. No doubt. No doubt you and I have enough inside info, inside people down there to get word on that. So whatever the word is on that, I'm going with that. If you tell me the urethane's carrying, I'm taking Jesper. If you tell me the urethane's at all suspect, then I'm taking Kyle. And that's no disrespect to either bowler. That's just, you know, that's just the logical and smart way to look at it from the betting perspective.
Yeah. For the betting perspective, you're right. Bill will be a favorite. But for people betting, like Boog is a very tempting bet at plus odds right now.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, to take an underdog parlay here in these two matches is absolutely a good bet because it's a one game match still, you know, and anything can happen.
And yes, he is executing at a high level right now. He is.
I agree. So like, you're assuming Troop's going to be the favorite in the other match, which I agree with. And he deserves to be.
He does.
I don't think either favorite's going to be a heavy favorite. You know, I think that the odds are going to be pretty reasonable here for both, I would expect.
Yeah, even money type odds.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, there's really not that much to discuss. I'll be hyped for the shows. You know, I'm glad they're going to be live. But yeah, I think competition wise, betting wise, pretty straightforward off of what we already talked about.
Yeah, and I look forward to it. It is on my birthday. I already texted Bill. I was like, Bill, you bowling on my birthday? Like, let's go. Like,
again, you know, over under wise, right? What's the scoring pace looking like? That's something we're going to have to get word on. You know,
yeah, but
in this place, I would have taken the overs in this Angel of the Wings. But, you know, now that you're going to Kissimmee, I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure what it's going to look like. So we're going to need more information there. But listen, follow us on social media. Follow us on X. He's Brooklyn Rob 11. I'm at the 215th. That's where we're going to put our information out betting wise most of the time. You know, before the shows and all that. Usually I put my tickets out. So if you want to tail along, if you want to follow along, you know, definitely take a look at us there. Follow us there. But yeah, pretty straightforward here to me. Anything to add there? Oh, we got odds. We got odds. People are helping us out. Troop minus 150, Jesper plus 115, Boog plus 140.
That's Bill exactly. Minus
182. That minus 182 is a little low for my liking. That's a little low. I understand why, but I just you in said, a one though, game match, I think that's a little low.
The smart bet here is not knowing anything is the Boog Jesper bet. Like that's to it me is. That's the smart bet if you're not have no knowledge of what's going on in Kissimmee, in my opinion. Right. I like to watch the first match and then sit on it and see. But since this is, you know, probably what I'd imagine three matches, so it's not going to be more than – are they going to have a two-hour show for three matches, or is the last match –
Is it one show or two shows?
What do you mean? It's one show. It's the final
one show? Okay.
I'd imagine it'd be an hour and a half show, right?
Yeah, but I don't think – I think the final is not a one-game format.
That's what I was going to say. Does anybody know in the chat – I'm sure Nico knows. Nico, do you know if the final match is a one-game match?
I can tell you it's not. I believe it's the old format of if you win two, you win. If it goes 1-1, then it goes to a roll-off. I believe, yes, just the final.
So it'll be a two-game match, and then if they 1-1, it'll go into a sudden death.
I don't know what the roll-off's going to be. It was one shot. Previously, yeah, or was it crazy. 9th and 10th frame, something like that?
Could you imagine a title for Sundat? That would be sick. Oof. For one. That's crazy.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward. I got a busy weekend next weekend. We got a dance competition. We got soccer games. My mom's coming up. So I got all kinds of stuff going on. But I almost promise you that when that show is on, what is it? Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday?
Sunday. It's my birthday.
Sunday, what time?
I want to say it's an early show. Let me look real quick.
That's going to be tough for me. I'll do everything I can to clear my schedule for that show to be in front of the TV live.
2:00 Eastern, Mike, Sunday.
Oh, that's going to be brutal. But all right, yeah. So yeah, great show though. Like to go from four to the winner in this format on one show. Definitely something I want to be checking out. So looking forward to it. And obviously we'll be betting on it too, I would imagine. So one of the last opportunities for the season to bet here. So we have that too. All right, Rob, we ready to give the people what they want?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it. All right, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
You go first. Real quick, though, I'm assuming that we are going to go live next Sunday evening, right after the show.
I got to double check on that.
Okay, you hear that, people? I'm ready to go live on my birthday. My mom is going to be here, and I'm waiting on Mike.
No, I hear you. No, listen, I can't give you a guarantee on that because, I might have to take my mom home at that point after the dance competition. So I don't know exactly what my schedule is going to be, but if we can do it, yes. If not, we'll definitely do it Monday.
Okay.
All right. My worst of the week is easy. I thought this was an easy worst of the week this week. If you're a part of this Facebook group, my worst of the week is going to an entire Facebook group this week. And it's going to the, I am a 300-800 bowler Facebook group. The entire Facebook group.
You're in that group?
Yeah, I'm in that group only for worst of the week purposes. Jimmy in the chat saying worst of the week, Hazlitt Bolero. Yeah, No doubt. No doubt, Jimmy. I feel you on that. I absolutely feel you. But, no, I'm giving it to the 300. I am a 300-800 bowler Facebook group. Congratulations, everyone who's in that group, who posts in that group. You got worst of the week. Just because it's the same cycle on that page. It's like endless posts about 300s, 800s. Then we go down the road of brag posts about how many 300s and 800s people have. And can I say, the numbers that some of these people post just seem ridiculous to me. Just ridiculous to me. It's almost like people know that at some point ABC, when the transition between ABC and USBC happened, you know, a lot of those past records don't seem to be accounted for. And yeah, people just come on and just throw out these numbers that are just insane. Just insane numbers. Like a lot of times you can't even believe what the people are posting. But then you'll get somebody who will come on and say something like, oh, the game's too easy today. You know, or this week I saw a post about with people arguing about whether people have a bowling career or not, and what the definition of a career is. And it's just ridiculous. It really is. It's just ridiculous. There's no need for it. You know, especially like I said, when somebody goes on and posts about, you know, oh, like these accomplishments, you know, that wasn't always like this. The game was harder. Oh my God, forget it. The amount of people that come out to yell at that person is just unbelievable. You know, poster after poster has to come on and say, oh, why does it matter to you? Why does it matter to you? Let people have fun. Let people have their accomplishments. See, but the other side of it is, okay, but then when you say let people have their fun, let them post their accomplishments, but then when somebody calls in the legitimateness, the legitimacy of some of those accomplishments, the people jump on them and don't want to hear that. Well, like, I don't know. I think both of those things need to be true at the same time. So, yeah, I have to give it to the I am a 300-800 bowler. Got to give it to the whole group. Sorry, folks. That's the way it is.
Yeah, I get it. It reminds me of the meme that I posted a few months ago of the person talking to the other person saying, like, person bragging about bowling 300.
Yeah.
And the lady has the dog, and the dog is like me asking if it's on a sport. Like,
yeah.
You know, that's one of my favorite like questions when someone's bragging about how many 300s and 800s. My first question, If I feel like they're trying to like brag or fig jam, it's hey, how many of that are on sport, or how many of that are on like any kind of like actual pattern? And then you don't really hear a lot after that. But anyway, Mike.
Right. Hold on one second. Let me see.
What are you looking up?
Let me see.
Oh
yeah, here was one of the posts that got me started. Somebody posted, I love seeing all these amateurs posting their career honor scores. You're a league bowler, not a pro. Please stop. And the you know, just the back and forth to that, it, you know, it's just it's too much.
Yeah. So a couple of weeks ago, I talked about it on the show. I joined a bunch of Facebook groups, bowling groups. One, just like you, just to kind of go and see what's going on out there, to widen my net of worst of the week.
Yeah, sense. I was going to say, you're fishing worst of the week material.
But I also, if anybody sees us on Facebook, I also like to actually jump in and contribute value to some of these posts when I feel like it needs to contribute value. When I see a lot of people giving bad advice, or you know, or it's so many bad advice like comments out there of just people not knowing what the hell they're talking about and giving other people who are maybe beginners advice who don't know, and they're just really asking, right? So I joined this group, and it's been a pretty okay group. It's called Amateur Bowling, right? And keep in mind, this is the name of the group because this is where my worst of the week comes in. It's called Amateur Bowling, parentheses, Staff Tips and Knowledge. Okay. Now, a lot of people go on there and they post videos of themselves bowling and they're beginners and they're asking for advice, right? Which, in my opinion, you're not going to really get a lot of good advice from people on Facebook. If you don't know, if you're a beginner, you're not going to know what is like good and what is not good advice, right? You're going to like read it all and just be like, oh, you know, maybe I should do that, whatever. There's one guy specifically that I want to call out, and he was literally bothering me while I was reading these Facebook groups. And I saw him, like, you know, the laughing emoji. Essentially, you could use it as a troll emoji if you really want to. You could just laugh at everybody's posts. He was laughing at everybody's posts where they were bowling as, beginners, right? Beginners, like, looking for advice from people. And this kid is just, this guy is just laughing at everybody. And then he makes a comment and he writes, keep in mind what the name of the group is, amateur bowling, okay? Weak, no style, and bowls amateurish, okay? I responded and I wrote, does putting someone down make you feel better about yourself? Why don't you post a video of yourself bowling and let's see what you look like bowling? I got annoyed and he didn't respond. And then I responded again. I said, I'm still waiting on your post of what you look like when you bowl. Like, and then I looked at a few other posts and I saw like this specific guy whose name is Michael Nicholas Magbaleta II, Magbaleta, is literally just going and like laughing at everybody and trolling people. And this Michael guy, Michael Nicholas Magbaleta II, I'm calling you out, bro. I'm calling you out. Post a video of yourself bowling. I'll post a video of myself bowling. You post a video of yourself bowling and you stop putting people down. There's a lot of people out there who are looking to get better. They're looking for like beginner, like information. You joined a group called Amateur Bowling, Mike. Like, you know what you're getting into. You're getting into a group that's beginners. They're looking for information. They want to get better. You know, you want to try to, you know, have a little bit of a sense of that instead of laughing at people and making fun of them. So I'm calling his ass out, Michael and Nicholas Magbaleta. If you know this guy, send him my way. Send him my way.
And hey, when people see Rob Bowl, they say he's a pro.
So I'm not a pro.
Be aware.
I'm not a pro. Mamma Mia thought I was a pro, but I'm not. I'm a true amateur. Anyway, that's my worst of the week, Mike. I got that off my chest. Now I feel a lot better, as you could tell.
All right, let's wrap it up. We're not going to talk about this now because there's just not enough time. I have to go. I'm sorry. But this is going to be my final thought. Bolero's taking over, yo.
Oh, you saw the purchase of
Thunder? Bolero's taking over. And if you ain't prepared for it, you better get prepared. Because it's well underway.
Well underway.
We'll talk about it later when there's more time to delve into that, right? And the bowling season is not so much in full swing. I think that's going to be one of our first episodes. Sorry, one of our first episode topics after the PBA tour is done. But if you ain't ready, get ready.
Well, we already knew. The PBA is bowling on their first string pin tournament. Did you see that this weekend?
It has a lot to do with why I'm saying that, Rob. I did see that. And again, I think there's a larger discussion to be had here. So we're gonna have to chop it up over that, but now there's not enough time right now.
There isn't, and I just want to preface. I know Nico is waiting for us to talk about the PWBA. We don't really have the time tonight, unfortunately. We're starting really late, and Mike's on the East Coast time over there.
I'm on a tight schedule tonight, Nico. Sorry.
We'll talk a little bit about the PWBA as it's coming into mid swings, with obviously the Queens coming up and whatnot. We'll definitely talk about it. Final thoughts is if you didn't get a chance to watch the PBA 50 this week at the Villages, was a really great stepladder that aired, I believe it was Friday, I want to say, or Thursday. But it was like old school nostalgia, Mike. You had Parker Bone, Jason Couch, and Chris Barnes, right? And Parker Bone was bowling Jason Couch in the finals, and they're both throwing urethane. If I felt like this was I was back in the 80s or 90s, Mike, watching before the resin days of them throwing urethane. And, you know, shouts to Parker Bone, man, still getting it done, PBA 50, throwing it at a high level. And Jason Couch absolutely crushed him last week. As we all know, Jason Couch can, who when he's on, he's almost unbeatable.
Yeah, he won the tournament before.
He did. He's
So maybe as a lefty, you just have to wait until you get to the PBA 50 to eat. You just got to stick it out for your whole regular career. And then when you get to the PBA 50, it's buffet style.
It could be. But anyway, so yeah, the PBA 50 is always great if you want to watch the nostalgia of some of the pros you grew up watching. You know, shouts
love,
to
love the PBA 50 step ladders. PWBA had a great stepladder too. I believe last night. I caught most of that. Tough condition, low scores. If you like watching a grind of a title match, go watch that title match. It was excellent. No question. Yeah.
So anyway, before we wrap it up real quick, I just want to wish everybody who's listening, who's a mom, a happy Mother's Day.
Shouts to moms.
Shouts to moms, you know, being a big influence in my life as well as my bowling life. Like, I couldn't have done it without her support, her, you know, financial, emotional, just everything about moms is a great day. I hope everyone had a chance to, you know, celebrate, you know, the wives, if you're moms, all of it. So, yeah. Just wanted to throw shouts to the moms before we wrap up and, you know, have a big show next week. And we'll keep everybody posted if we're going to be live on Sunday night or Monday night. Speaking of moms, my mom's coming in this week. Got my dog going to surgery. Dog has been sick. So
shout to Rocky.
Yeah, shouts to Rocky. My guy is sick. He's battling cancer, in case anybody didn't know. We got some major surgery coming up for him, and you know, my dog is like my kid, so
he needs to take after his namesake, fight the good fight, son.
He's going to, he's a tough dog, so you know, they're very resilient dogs.
With a name like Rocky, I would expect nothing else.
Very resilient. All dogs are very resilient, and you know, I love him like my kid, so you know, I'll be with him until you know, I make that hard decision one day, but we're not there yet.
No doubt. Everybody have a good week. We'll be back next week. Nico, I'm not betting on the Queens this week. Thank God they don't have PWBA betting in New Jersey. Otherwise, I'd go broke this week betting on the Queens. So I won't be betting on that. Sorry. But, yes, we will catch up with everybody next Sunday or Monday. And enjoy the PBA playoff finals. We will. Take it easy, guys.
See you, guys.
You are now listening to Sweep the Rack Podcast featuring Brooklyn Rob and Big Mike.